Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 22nd. In a follow-up to a story we reported last month, scientists from NASA and other agencies were on the Grand Mesa in February, researching the snowpack using new technologies. High Country News reporter Emily Benson wrote a story about it and joined KVNF News in studio recently to talk about the project. Hello, Emily, and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Just kind of set the scene for us. What was it like for you there on the Mesa?
So the day that I was there, there were about 40 scientists working up there. It was a three-week campaign, and there were about 100 people there spread out over the 3 weeks. But the day we were there, there were only about 40. And they split up into little groups and visited different sites on the Mesa to take manual measurements of the snow. So Brooke Warren from High Country News came with me to take some photographs for the story. And some of the scientists took the two of us around on snowmobiles to check out some of the different sites. When we got started, it was pretty cold. It was only 11 degrees Fahrenheit when we got out of the car in the morning. But as the day went on, it heated up, and by mid-afternoon, it was above freezing, and so we could see the snow starting to melt and puddles starting to form. So it was pretty interesting to see the snow change just throughout a single day like that.
And one of the scientists told you that the holy grail of snow sensing research is in determining the amount of water held within the snowpack. Why is that the key information that scientists are looking for?
Right. So here in the West, the snowpack is really crucial for our water supply. It supplies about 60 to 70% of the water that we use. So you can think of the snowpack as kind of a big frozen reservoir. So the reservoirs that we have behind dams, we keep really good track of how much snow is, or excuse me, how much water is in there. And so we want to do the same thing with the snow. And the thing with snow is that you can't just measure the depth and know how much water is stored there. It really depends on how dense the snow is. And you kind of know that intuitively. If you think about really cold, dry winter snow that you can't even pack into a snowball, that doesn't have as much water held within it as really wet, heavy spring snow that you can really pack down really well. So you need to measure the density of the snow as well as its depth so that you can figure out how much water is within it.
What are the various technologies that are used, and how do they all work in conjunction to provide the most accurate data?
Right, so there's a lot of different ways to measure the snow. And for decades, scientists have been trying to figure out if there's one sensor in particular that could just automatically measure how much water's in the snow. And what they'd like to do, the overall long-term goal of this whole project, is to figure out what instrument or instruments to put on a satellite that could measure snow water across the whole landscape. And the reason for that is that we do have a network of manual and automated sensors across the western U.S. that can measure snow water, but that only measures how much water's in the snow at those specific points. And the density of the snow can really vary across the landscape. So if we could measure it from the air, then we'd have a much more comprehensive and accurate picture of how much water's in the snow. So the scientists have been looking for a single sensor, but they haven't really found one, and that's because different ways of measuring the snow work better in different circumstances. So probably the best way to measure it from the air is going to be to put a few different instruments up on a satellite and then use the measurements from all of those together to figure out how much water's in the snow. So some of the different options are LIDAR, which is one scientist described that to me as just a really fancy name for a rangefinder. So LIDAR uses lasers to measure distances. So if you fly LIDAR over the landscape before the snow comes down and then again after it snows, then you can look at the difference between those two scans and see how deep the snow is. So that's one thing you might want to know. Another way they sometimes measure snow is with something called a microwave radiometer. And so the Earth is naturally emitting radiation all the time. And if there's snow above the Earth, then that changes the signal a little bit. So if you're measuring that radiation, you can kind of back calculate and figure out some some qualities of the snow, how dense it is, how deep it is. So if you put a few instruments like that and maybe some other ones too that can measure the temperature or how much light is reflecting from the surface of the snow, then all of that together could give you a more complete picture of the snow and how much water's inside of it. So Grand Mesa is perfect because it's flat on top. So it has an area on top that's about 53 square miles that's really very flat. And so that's an easy place for the airborne instruments to take their measurements. And the scientists are also taking the manual measurements on the ground that Brooke and I saw, and they're using those to kind of ground truth the aerial measurements and to calibrate the aerial instruments. And so that is an area. Because it's flat, it reduces the complexity, so it's a good place to test the instruments. The other thing about Grand Mesa that makes it a good spot is that there's a wide variation in the forest on top of Grand Mesa. So some areas are kind of open, just scrub land, and then there are other parts of the mountain that have a few trees, and then there are other parts that are pretty densely forested. And one of the problems with measuring snow from the air is that the trees can get in the way. So they wanted to test their instruments in a place where they could see exactly how they work when there aren't very many trees to deal with and when there's a lot of trees to deal with.
And great, thanks so much for coming in. We've been talking to Emily Benson today about the snowpack measurements on the Grand Mesa. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
A new bill that would make it easier for Coloradans to change the gender on their birth certificate faces an uphill battle in the state Senate.
The Birth Certificate Modernization Act cleared the House with bipartisan support last week, but now it faces an uphill battle after being assigned to the Senate's unofficial kill committee. The new law would streamline the process for changing the gender listed on birth certificates. Laura Reinch with One Colorado says when a person's gender doesn't match their birth certificate, they can lose housing, a job, and even the right to vote.
And this bill will just make it so that transgender people can live their lives the way that they choose, which I think is a Colorado value. We believe in personal freedom and being able to live a life you want. And this bill will help transgender people be able to live a life free from discrimination.
Reinch notes, under the current law, a transgender person must undergo surgery and appear before a judge to prove their identity. House Bill 1122 would only require a note from a health professional supporting the change. Two previous attempts to update the state's rules did not clear the Senate, where some opponents have said the move could lead to fraud or identity theft. Reinch notes, the bill would put Colorado in sync with current federal policies for updating the gender on a passport or Social Security card.
Federal government uses this process that the bill would put in place for folks to update the gender on their passport or Social Security card. So if there were real valid concerns about fraud, the federal government and all these other states would not be using this process.
Reinch says her group and others will be contacting members of the Senate's State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, urging them to give the bill a fair hearing. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.